on an outdoor public court, had that epiphany moment when I said, this is great, but I now knew the downside. You know, you can't reserve a court. It's hot, it's windy, filthy courts. This would be better indoors. And literally at that moment, Paul, Pickleball Kingdom was born. I instantly saw this as a franchise play. And it was, I was off and running from there.
Welcome back to the future of pickleball on Selkirk TV. This is the show where I get a chance to interview the movers, the shakers, the rockers and rollers in the sport of pickleball. If you're watching us on YouTube, cool, I'm glad you're here. But be aware that if you download the Selkirk TV app on your phone, it's available on all the platforms, you'll be able to get my show, many other major podcasters in the sport of pickleball. You'll be able to see some of the best instructional pickleball imaginable, and you can even watch many of the live pro matches right on your phone. So let's jump in. I've got a fun guest today. He comes from an interesting background. Ace Rodriguez, welcome to the show.
Paul, always good to see you and excited to engage with your audience here.
Cool. Well, you know, one of the things that's kind of interesting, what I'd like to do is I'd like to have you kind of set the stage a little bit with how you found out about pickleball, got involved, how you began to see it as a business opportunity, and how you evolved that into the franchising that we're going to talk quite a bit about today.
Sure. To tell that story, Paul, you understand it's like you just asked me to talk about my favorite flavor of ice cream. So sit back, relax. I'm going to enjoy telling this. Like a lot of people, I got introduced through friends. Guys got into it. It was during COVID, toward the tail end, and they kept inviting me. And let me start with this. You know, I had some reservations up front. A million years ago, I played quarterback at the University of Hawaii. I just share that to say I take sports very seriously. So when they started telling me about this, and I said, well, what kind of ball? I looked online. Is that like a racquetball? Is that a tennis ball? I can't tell. They said, it's a pickleball. I said, I know, but what is a pickleball? They said, it's a type of wiffle ball. I said, I'm out. You know, wiffle ball sounds picnicky, backyardish. I taught my son how to hit a wiffle ball with a plastic bat when he was five. Not really interested. Thank goodness they kept inviting me. Paul, it was a Tuesday night. I think I hadn't walked out my front door in 3 days. I said, babe, I'm going to go meet the guys. What are you guys doing? I said, I don't know. Something they got into. I don't get it. They started doing this thing, and overnight, they're doing it like 4 or 5 times a week. And like a lot of people, Paul, literally 5 minutes on the court, I raised the paddle and said, this is the greatest sport ever. And I was hooked. I became a super spreader, not of COVID, but of pickleball. I would then get 15 to 20 guys to show up, bought some paddles, some balls, said, look, you don't need to bring anything. Let's just have a good time. Put a whiteboard on the fence, you know, write down your name, how many wins, just, you know, fun little round robin thing. And it was probably the fourth time I did it. And I can tell you when it happened. It was January 9th, 2021, on an outdoor public court. Had that epiphany moment when I said, this is great, but I now knew the downside. You know, you can't reserve a court. It's hot, it's windy, filthy courts. This would be better indoors. And literally at that moment, Paul, Pickleball Kingdom was born. I instantly saw this as a franchise play. And it was, I was off and running from there. A little over a year later, we opened up our Pickleball Kingdom here in Chandler. And a year after that, we started franchising, which was June of last year. And we're sitting right now, Paul, with 350-plus franchise locations and queues. So all I can say is God is good, man. I am blessed.
Well, and I love your enthusiasm. And, of course, that's what we get with the leaders in the sport. It is they all come into this and develop a passion and buy into it. So that's great. Tell me a little bit. I've had an opportunity to interview some of the other CEOs of some of the other franchises. Tell me about the secret sauce of Pickleball Kingdom. What are you guys doing that's cool, that's groovy, that's interesting for people both as members and perhaps as future franchisees?
Yeah. Well, when you say secret sauce, I'll say this. You know, so many times I've been in business for 30 years, Paul, and have done a lot of everything, mostly in the financial sector, you know, and so I've dealt with startups, a lot of fundraising, helped launch companies publicly on the NASDAQ. And so many times, I think people want to be creative with history, and they sort of put a narrative that they get to a certain point of success, and then they look backwards and say, how should we say we started? How should we say we had a mission statement back in the day? And they sort of, again, try to rewrite history. As far as I know, we're probably the only brand in pickleball that literally started with five value statements before it was even a business. And I said, what are we going to be about? What is Pickleball Kingdom? What sort of a metric that we can look at that before we make any decision, we're going to run it through this prism and make sure it matches up and it aligns. And I came up with five things. Number one, life is better with pickleball. And anyone who's played, I think, will agree to that. And these are some, I believe, truths that are sort of hard to go against. Number two, we believe that competition is fun. You know, I get it. You know, with little kids, sometimes you don't want to keep score. But, man, if we're going to play anything, Paul, we're going to keep score. And there's going to be a winner, you know. So we believe competition is fun, and that's a good thing. Number three, we believe that playing pickleball is good for you physically, socially, and spiritually. It's not just a game. I don't even like to refer to it as a game. It's a sport. A sport to me is elevated. Number four, our greatest asset is our community. I would say that's probably the biggest differentiator between us and other brands, that we are so all about community. It's part of our DNA. It's everything that we do corporately with our employees and then with our members. And finally, we respect our teammates, and everyone we come into contact with, we believe is our teammate. So when we look at the harmonious environment we have, I think it starts with that respect, you know, that our employees have for each other, and then they show to our members, and therefore our members show to guests. So it just becomes this great synergistic environment.
Hi, I want to tell you guys about one of the best additions I've got to my game, and it's not another paddle. It's not another shirt, it's my Selkirk Tour Bag. Selkirk bags are designed with tremendous intent. They're to help you organize, to keep things that you need with you where you can get at them whenever you want them. The beauty of the Selkirk bags is they're designed by a company that really thinks first, last, and always about pickleball. They've created a series of bags at all kinds of price points that are tremendously well designed, and frankly, they look really good. Look at the Selkirk bags, not only for what you do courtside. I use my tour bag as my travel bag when I'm going around the country. Selkirk will help you have the best experience you can have. Enjoy it. Thanks so much. You can find all the bags on Selkirk.com's website. I love your enthusiasm and your background that brought you to this. You know, one of the things that I think the market's really interested in, I have so many people in the business world kind of following my show, is in terms of your business model. First off, what are the market circumstances that you're looking for? What is the best place for a franchise to look at being located?
Paul, that's sort of the million-dollar question. And here's the $10 million answer. I'm not going to say it doesn't matter, but it doesn't matter. You know, every franchisee or potential franchisee we engage with and we talk to, they're like, Ace, you're not going to believe how popular pickleball is in my area. And it's like, we get it. It's every area. And if a place isn't just like overflowing with pickleball players, it is not because the community has rejected it. It's because there isn't opportunity to play yet. you know, the community hasn't caught up yet. So we create that offering. So it's really our COO, Rob Street, who's just a business stud and a half, you know, his background with Starbucks Cold Stone Creamery. Our former governor here, Ducey, hired him as his COO, took it from 4 local locations to 1,200 nationally. He said, Ace, the analytics we had to deal with for coffee places, ice cream places, if you're on the northeast corner versus the southwest corner of an intersection, that could be $120,000 a year difference. You know, the minutiae of all of that, where for us, Paul, the popularity of this sport, the ravenous demand, all we kind of look at really is we need some population density, right? You can't have some big club in a rural area. You know, you're not going to have the population to support that. And it doesn't have to be in an affluent community. It just can't be in a low-income community. People have to have some disposable income. We have a proprietary system that we put together that really pulls all of these factors together, that we come out with a sort of rating system. So we provide that to our franchisees and show them what locations are going to work according to our model. So I'll tell you this, though, Paul, it's blue ocean territory. You know, it's wide open, and we're just excited about planting flags all over the place.
Cool. You know, it is. That's such an interesting piece of the market, an interesting piece of what you guys are doing. But I also would like to chat a little bit about what is your member, your players that are coming into your facilities. I know programming is such a big part of the game of pickleball and the experience of pickleball. What are you guys doing in that arena?
Yeah. So again, I say it's part of our secret sauce of knowing where the pendulum swings. And I'm going to tell you, Paul, we made some mistakes early on where, you know, you got sort of the two big factors, I think, in all clubs with pickleball. You have the open play, you know, or people call it drop-in, right? It's for people who aren't familiar, it's pickup basketball. Like you show up to court and you just jump into a game. And so you have that aspect. And then you have reservations that, okay, at 2 o'clock today, me and my buddies got court 12. So you have those two elements. How much do you push to having these courts open for that open play? How much do you hold back and say, no, these courts are for reservation only? So it's a kind of a dance that we've done. Our pendulum has been too far over with not enough reservation and more open play, and vice versa. I feel like we got that dialed in just right. But that's an equation that has to be figured out for sure, because when it's out of balance, you're going to have some dissatisfied members.
Sure. Now, so on that order, where so much of the pickleball secret sauce, the uniqueness of pickleball is community. It's the gathering. It's the ability to, I was a lifelong tennis player. To some degree, I looked forward to not having to have a booked appointment because I wanted to arrive when I wanted to arrive, play when I wanted to play. How does your model and your facilities accommodate sort of the social component of pickleball?
Yeah, so we have about 10 hours a day of that open play, you know, at three different segments throughout the day. And like you said, Paul, when I first got introduced, that story I told earlier, I was like, guys, this is so much fun. That was a Tuesday night. I said, let's play again tomorrow. How about 1, 2 o'clock? Is that good for you guys? They're like, no, we can't do that. We're working. What about tomorrow night at 6, 7 o'clock? And I'm like, my daughter's playing volleyball. It's her senior year. I go to her practices because that window's closing. So it's kind of hard to wrangle people's schedules and pull it together. So the beauty of drop and play, you show up, we have specified courts for beginners, intermediate, advanced. So you're going to kind of be in the vicinity of skill set that matches yours. And the beauty of that, Paul, the organic relationships we see are amazing, that if you and I were playing and I'm like, hey, I've seen you here a couple times. Do you normally come Tuesday, Thursday? Yeah, about this time. Hey, why don't you bring a friend? I'll bring a friend and let's have a foursome. And again, now you got pickleball buddies. And so we see that social element. But I would say one of the biggest questions I get asked is, Ace, why do you think pickleball has exploded the way it has? And I put a lot of thought and energy into that. And I'm going to tell you what my answer is. And I'm not saying this is the right answer. I'm just saying it's from my observation. I think there's a couple of elements. Number one, I believe the learning curve is so short. You know, you have the person who is a self-professed, I wasn't an athlete 20 years and 20 pounds ago, much less today. That person in 5 minutes is playing the sport and having fun. I mentioned, you know, I was a quarterback. I got very good hand-eye coordination, and I took up golf after our youngest child, our daughter, went off to college. Lessons, hundreds of hours on the range. Paul, I would get out there and sometimes feel like I never touched a club before, right? That learning curve is so steep. So pickleball, it kind of pulls you in a very positive way that you're getting better each time you play, but you're never going to hit the ceiling. You're never going to master it, but you continually get better. And then you hit on the other big element, maybe the biggest element, is the social aspect. Back in the day, I loved pickup basketball. That was my outlet after football was over for me. But there was just a certain point that I just couldn't afford any more sprained ankles. And the thing about basketball, though, yeah, there's talk and chatter, but it's not really social. You're very intensely in the game. Tennis, you're so far away. So many things, you're just doing the thing. If you're playing pickleball with four people, typically you're never more than about 20 feet apart from any other of the three people, whether they're on your team or the other team. There's always conversation. There's always chatter. There's high-fiving. There's strategy. There's trash talk, right, depending on who you're playing with. And that's what makes it so intoxicating. You're just having so much fun. And the last thing I'll say is, I call pickleball, I came up with this term, I call it the sneaky workout. When I'm on an elliptical, Paul, every second I'm looking at my watch saying, how much longer is this crap going to go on for? When I'm playing pickleball, never once am I thinking I'm working out. I'm having fun. I'm, you know, trying to win, trying to do this, that, whatever it is. And when I'm done, my sweat rings down to my belly button. And so that's what just makes it. You're having fun, you're playing, but it's physically, socially, spiritually good for you. That's why it's in our value statement.
So now when the sport of pickleball has been blowing up, we all know that. When someone is looking in their area and trying to make a determination, do I open an independent club? Do I start from scratch? Do I align with a franchisee? What are your suggestions or what are your ideas as to how somebody makes that adjustment? Or
That's a great question, Paul. I've been a business advocate and student since I've been in my literal 20s, my early 20s. And I've studied all kinds of industries. And again, especially because I've been on the finance side, I'd have to understand why certain things happened. Here's maybe the best analogy I can use to answer that question, Paul. I'm old enough to remember before there were VHS cassette videotapes, so I'm dating myself. But I remember when those things came out and I was a kid and it was revolutionary. Oh my gosh, I don't have to say, Dad, quick, we got to go home. My show's about to start. You know, it's like, what? You can have this thing and just watch it when you want it and stick it into the VCR. That was awesome. And my wife and I grew up in Hawaii. So it was the same everywhere. But from my experience in Hawaii, overnight, these mom and pop video stores popped up everywhere. They were all crowded. They were all doing well. Next thing I knew, grocery stores had a video wall and then an aisle and then a whole section. And then gas stations, Paul, if you remember, started renting out videos. Everyone's doing great. Everyone's making money until Blockbuster came to town. And then it changed everything. The market didn't shrink. The brands contracted and the market grew. And so now the mom and pops, the sort of pretenders, if you will, it was the beginning of the end for them. And so I just share that, Paul, to say right now you could Subway. They have a pickleball sandwich. What's a pickleball sandwich? I'm sure it has pickles, but don't 80% of sandwiches have pickles in it? So it just to put the word pickleball, they're probably selling 30, 40% more. If you put a big pen and say pickleball pen, you're going to sell more of those pens. I think you can close your eyes and throw a dart on the wall. And if it says pickleball on it, you're going to make money until the major brands come to town. I'm not going to say it's going to put all the mom and pops out of business. I will say it will put a hurt on them in a big way. So where we're at, and this is in no way sort of like a threat to any independent person. It's there's a different business model. I think there's different lanes to serve different people. But I will say this, that we have brand equity that with 350 clubs today, Paul, coming, it's not we're hoping. That's they're on the way. And that's growing on a daily basis. And then internationally, there's going to be tremendous brand equity in the next 2 years. Once our system is built out, Paul, we're already going to be bigger than Lifetime Fitness. And everyone knows Lifetime Fitness. So I wouldn't want to compete against that 800-pound gorilla. So that would be the long answer to it, that people are going to have a choice. They can stake a claim, but the part of the reason I feel so blessed is God put this idea into my head that landed in my heart as a mission early on when it still wasn't a thing. The question I had to answer so many times is, when you say indoor, how many hours a day can people play pickleball? Because they thought you're building basketball courts and Monday, Wednesday, Friday from 2 to 4, no basketball, you play pickleball. No, it's I made up a term, dedicated indoor facility, that's now sort of an industry used term, because I had to say, how can in just a written word form will people understand it's purely pickleball? It's not another thing that, by the way, you do pickleball for part of the time. And as you know, when you buy an indoor pickleball, it's meant to bounce off of wood. So it doesn't have the same true bounce when you do the outdoor surfaces that everyone knows and loves. So our indoor facilities have outdoor surfaces that everyone plays on. We just took away all the elements. So it's all the benefits of being indoors without those elements, but playing on outdoor surfaces.
So it's interesting, as you describe that, I think your analogy of the Blockbuster model is one that any of us that lived through the VCR world, that just was absolute. It just was without exception. The same thing really sort of happened with Starbucks when the coffee shop Starbucks came in, it just changed things. But that being said, I get a lot of questions from people. We hear about the numbers. So I know I've seen press releases from the kingdom about an Illinois group, a Tennessee group, and an Indiana group, pretty substantial numbers. Tell us about how that big number group comes and what's the timeline from the time they get involved with you until we'll start seeing those facilities open and operating?
Yeah, let me address the heart of the question that you just asked first, Paul, and then I'll answer the literal question. So in terms of the numbers, they sound big, but the reason they feel so monstrous, in my 30-year business career, there has never been an industry that went from unheard of to where we are today in such a short period of time. So it feels overwhelming, but look how many health clubs there are. Wherever you're sitting in your place today, Paul, how many chicken restaurants are around you? Yet new chicken brands are opening every day. So we're just at the scratch of the beginning of the scratch of the surface. So that's, again, it feels like people say, are we saturated? We're not even in the universe of that point today. Secondly, in terms of the actual answer to your question, these people that are coming into us are early adapters. You know, they're people like me that saw there's an opportunity because, you know, it's the old question, right? There has to be a better way. Scratch your own itch. You know that there's an opportunity. You don't like playing outdoors, hot, cold, wind, all those things. They see the opportunity and they're saying, I want to plant my flag and I want to get these locations open. So we have that, again, proprietary system we're putting together that shows that these markets, these communities are going to be able to support that club. So we're just, again, planting those flags everywhere.
Cool. You know, I want to tell you, for those of you that are watching this interview with Ace, if you like what you're seeing, hit the like button, subscribe to our show, hit the notification button. You'll get the opportunity to see these people the minute these shows in the future come out. That being said, you mentioned something and you used the word that I think is really getting to be a big one in the space right now, and that's international. I understand you were just recently in Paris at the Olympics, and I've heard that you guys are actually doing some things globally in the pickleball franchise space. What's going on with that?
Yeah, so my wife and I just got back 2 days ago from Paris. Now, my secret intent, Paul, going up there, I was hoping they're going to pull me out of the stands to run one of the track events. Didn't happen. But I was a big cheerleader for the U.S. of A. My gosh, U.S. track is back in a big, big way. So very proud of the red, white, and blue. Paul, I'm going to tell you, the international opportunity is so enormous. You know, if you had to be any place in the world, there's no doubt the United States, anyone who ever grumbles about our country, go spend some time in a foreign country and you will appreciate what we have here in America. Having said that, the opportunity to grow is enormous. And so we have some very exciting conversations and relationships being built all over the world. But right now, the kind of on the forefront for us is sort of that Middle East, Canada and Australia are the places that we're really going to be coming out in a big way with. So those are already in the process of being launched and we're finalizing those relationships.
I think that is so cool. I'm actually quite involved with a number of big initiatives going on globally, and there's going to be a very big conference in Dubai in January that's global, and different organizations starting to come into the space that haven't been in it. It's going to be pretty amazing. It's going to be fun watching what you guys do with that. I'm going to be very interested in that. We're going to begin to wrap this thing up, but one of the things that I would like you to do is you've put a tremendous amount of thought, effort, probably money into making this happen. Give me your vision, your view of where you think this might go, and even any, since it's a kingdom, maybe even any royal proclamations that might be coming down the road that you see.
Man, you're a wordsmith, Paul. Love it. So I love this movie, and I think most of your audience members have seen it, The Founder. You know, Michael Keaton did such a good job portraying McDonald's, Ray Kroc, right, and what he did. Cautionary tale in some ways. I'm not getting into that, but just the sort of growth of that industry. And I believe that's literally where we are with the pickleball industry right now. You know, as he talked about and we saw it play out in the movie of people saying, well, what do you mean there's no silverware? That makes no sense. You know, it was this new beginning that today, fast food, we all understand eating out of a carton or a wrapper. Back then, it was, no, you eat off a plate and, you know, silverware. So that's where we are in pickleball. So I think it's just so exciting for all of us, what you're doing with Selkirk, you know, just a lot of the brands out there. We're not just building brands. We're helping craft an industry. And in my opinion, what that then leads to, if you play that out, we are really changing the way of life for most people. The amount of people we have, Paul, at our club, if you say you lost 20 pounds at Pickleball Kingdom, you maybe get a high five, maybe. That's about it. And the reason is there are so many people that have lost 40, 50, 80, two people in our club right here in Chandler, over 100 pounds, two people. It's life-changing. I mean, let's be honest. If you can lose 100 pounds, you are probably, you know, a couple of heartbeats away from a heart attack. They're now different human beings, you know? And so the community aspect, the fun, the different way of life, you know, there's so many things that we're doing. You asked about a royal proclamation where, here you go. Inside of 5 years, Paul, Pickleball Kingdom will be in every civilized country in the world. So that will happen. That's part of our drive moving forward. And it's already in process, but that's going to be a reality.
Ace, I got to tell you, I want to drink the Kool-Aid that you're drinking because I love your energy and enthusiasm. And it is really, it's so much fun for me to get a chance to interview people like you on this show that I do. But it's so cool to see where the sport is going. And there is this constant theme of health, wellness, social, societal benefits. I spent 40 years in the sporting goods business. Seeing what's happening in pickleball is almost unbelievable. And it has been a fantastic experience having you on the show. I want to say thank you so much. I can't wait to get back to Arizona in a couple of months. And I'm coming down to the kingdom to say hi.
You and I are going to definitely spend some time, Paul. I enjoy every time you and I do see each other. And if I could just say the last thing to your audience, you know, if any of you are looking for an adventure, We're looking for early adapters, people who want something. I can't back up far enough here, but I'm wearing tennis shoes and sweatpants. I have never had more fun being in a business because it is a sport. It is something that helps people. There's so much positivity. And bluntly, Paul, business, there's a scoreboard. It's called money. There's such an upside to what we do. I'm looking for those people that love to compete. My ultimate sport right now is the business of pickleball. I'm looking for men and women that want to do that same thing. So please have them hit up our website, pickleballkingdom.com. Go to our franchising page. We'd love to start a conversation with them.
Absolutely. And I'll tell you, I'll tell my audience, franchising is going to be the absolute requirement in pickleball because we cannot get cities and municipalities to build courts as fast as they're needed. Every place I go around the country, we're at a saturation point, and we haven't even begun to approach the peak of the growth in this sport. Franchising will put courts out, make it available, allow us to grow. Let's support the kingdom. Ladies and gentlemen, let's say goodbye to Ace. Thank you so much. I've enjoyed having you on the show.
Paul, always a pleasure. I need those last 10 seconds. That's going to be our next commercial right there.
Okay. You got it. Thanks, buddy. We'll see you in Arizona.